Blessed Sunday, everyone. Welcome to our worship celebration. Today we'll be looking back to yet another psalm as we worship God today. You see, as we have been learning, the book of Psalms are songs written on different occasions by different people on different settings, and they honestly speak of the believer's heart as he worships God even in the struggles of his life. We need songs like that in our lives today. Songs that would minister to our hearts. Some say that the Psalms are the songs for all seasons of the believer's soul. And I agree with that. Such is the Psalm that we will be looking at today. So with your Bibles open, kindly turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 3. The third chapter of the book of Psalms. And it reads, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people, Selah. May God bless the reading of His Word. Shall we come to the Lord in prayer? O loving God, the God to whom these psalmists call upon in the difficult situations of their lives, we come to you, Lord, in this rather peculiar time wherein we are all caught in a pandemic, where in one way or another, we are affected by this virus. We cry out to you, O God, to minister to our hearts and strengthen our souls. We desire, Lord, to worship you, yet there are times that we cannot. There are times that it simply is so hard. And so we cry out to you to minister to us through your word. And we pray that you'd be gracious to us to allow us to live these truths out as we strive to glorify you in whatever situation we're in. We thank you. We love you. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen and amen. There is no doubt that the most neglected topic in the church is lament, or yung mga malulungkot na mga pagkakataon. Because people want to be encouraged. People want to be blessed in the heart. They want to be motivated, and those are but right. Don't get me wrong. Yet equally important, dear ones, in the life of the church is to be discussing about the dark providences of the Lord. When things don't seem to go your way, when you are overwhelmed, when you are hurting, because we live in a fallen world with other fallen beings, because it is during those times that we need guidance. It is during those times that we need assurance. It is during those times that we need a song to help us keep on. Friends, we have been going through the pandemic, diba? Over a year na. There are better days when we can laugh and just shrug off this virus. What virus? But there are days that we struggle. Days when you struggle getting off the bed to face another day. Days when you look around and ask, when will this end? Days when you know certain people would never go back, would never be back in your lives because they all have succumbed to this virus. Days perhaps like today, or to some of us, maybe it's every day. And so, friends, let me share with you this song before us, because the writer is going through a rough time, through a very difficult time when he wrote this song. It reads a psalm of David. So David wrote this letter. David wrote this song. And we know that David's life is defined by troubles. This shepherd boy who became king, his story can be found in 1 Samuel. How he has been anointed to be the next king because God sees him as a man after his own heart. But there's more to the heading than who wrote it. It reads a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. The occasion of the writing was when David, the king, flee from his son Absalom, who wanted him dead. Imagine mo mga kapatid, sarili mong anak gusto kong patayin dahil gusto niyang siya maging hari. This is the time when this was written. The setting of the psalm can be found in 2 Samuel. And so it will be helpful for us to spend a little time in the background so we would know the context of this beautiful song. 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel is when we see the shepherd boy becoming king. 2 Samuel is a book of sin and repentance. 2 Samuel chapter 7 is where we find the reigning king David sinning with Bathsheba and the cover-up that he made when he murdered Uriah. That is to show us the messed up life of the king and his family. But we need to know more about Absalom, right? Because it reads when Absalom was going after David. It's Absalom who we need to get to know. See, Absalom is the third son of David. Absalom was born in Hebron. We meet him in 2 Samuel chapter 3. His name means my father is peace. Abba Shalom, Absalom. At the time of his birth, Israel was enjoying international peace and stability. But the strife and struggle is in the king's family, as Absalom orchestrated a revenge against his half-brother Amnon for raping Tamar, Absalom's sister. Because of that, he needed to skip town and be on a self-imposed exile that lasted 3 years. Pinatay niya yung kanyang kapatid, di ba? So, tumakas siya, nagtagal ng 3 taon, nagtago. By the time we get to 2 Samuel chapter 14, he is now allowed to be back in the kingdom due to the king's grace. On the surface, it looks like an amazing comeback. A son repented of his sin, and a loving father embraces him back in his arms. Absalom was warming his way back in his father's favor. Pero si Absalom is as ambitious as he was good-looking. The writer of 2 Samuel makes sure that we won't miss it. Listen to how he describes Absalom in 2 Samuel 14, starting with verse 25. It reads, "Now in all Israel, there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom." Ano raw? Wala raw kaparis ang kagandahang lalaki ni Absalom sa buong Israel. "From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, for at the end of every year he used to cut it, when it was heavy on him, he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head 200 shekels by the king's weight. There were born to Absalom 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a beautiful woman." Now we ask, why this interruption in the narrative? Here we see that it says 3 things about Absalom. First, he's handsome. Magandang lalaki. Second, he has a serious head of hair. Makapal ang buhok. In fact, sobrang kapal. Every year, he would cut it, it would be 200 shekels. Third, it reads, he has a family, three sons, and a daughter, whom he named after his sister Tamar, who was raped by his half-brother Amnon. Matthew Henry wisely observes what is not said about Absalom. He said, nothing is said of his wisdom and piety. Wala rin nabanggit tungkol sa kanyang katalinuhan at sa kanyang katwiran. Absalom was big on looks and little on substance. And if you have been reading the book of Samuel, you probably would see a pattern there. The first king of the Israelites was Saul. And how was he described? He was tall, he was head and shoulders above everyone in the land. He was tall, therefore he can be a great king. That kind of thinking has led the nation in so much trouble. Remember David's big brother Eliab, di ba? When Samuel was about to anoint the next king, he saw Eliab and he was like very kingly looking. And so he thought it was Eliab who would be the next king. So as he was about to pull out his anointing oil, God says, no, he's not the one I've chosen. So they called the youngest shepherd boy. Now Absalom is not just a pretty face. He knows how to play politics. He knows how to sweet talk people into siding with him. He has the looks, he has the lying lips to go with it. Kindly turn to 2 Samuel 15. Verse 1, it reads, after this, Absalom got himself a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And when any man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, from what city are you? And when he said, your servant is of such and such tribe in Israel, Absalom would see him, see, your claims are good and right, but there's no man designated by the king to hear you. Then Absalom would say, oh, that I were judge in the land. Then every man with a dispute or cause might come to me, and I would give him justice. And whenever a man came near to pay homage to him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Imagine the politician in this man. He was shaking hands, he was kissing babies, he was making promises, and just like that, he was carefully starting a rebellion. And those of us who knows the story may say, ah, dapat lang kay David yan. Diba? You might say, isn't this the consequence of his sin against Uriah, against Bathsheba? And you're right in thinking that. In fact, the prophet Nathan told the king in 2 Samuel 12, verse 10, now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Yes, you are right in thinking that David deserves this. This is a consequence of David's sins. But we are also wrong to be thinking that. Because inasmuch as David should suffer the consequences of his own sin, he is still the rightful king. And rebellion against the king is rebellion against God himself. Absalom is still guilty of his wicked schemes against God's anointed king. And as David sees this, he thought it best for him to run away. He leaves with some men who are still faithful to him, and he leaves the throne behind. The clergy, yung mga pare, went with him. In fact, they offered to bring with them the Ark of the Covenant. But David is a changed man. He doesn't need the furniture of Yahweh. He needs the favor of Yahweh. He does not need rituals. He needs repentance. He has learned to trust, and so now he retreats. He walked out of the city to the Kidron Valley. He began to ascend the Mount of Olives, and Scripture says he was barefooted, and he was weeping, and his head was covered, and all those with him were also weeping. Ito po ang setting ng awit nating tinitignan. This is the background. This is the setting of Psalm chapter 3. The king was running away from his son. Most of his trusted friends have gone against him. And he feels so alone, so distressed. He has no one else but God. Perhaps ito ang pinagdadaanan nyo ngayon, mga kapatid. This is how you feel right now. You are crushed. You are defeated. You feel you need to listen to someone who is going through the same, to be encouraged. So listen to the song that David wrote in this situation. Let us learn from the faith of David. And altogether, look at four lessons on trouble. Psalm chapter 3 is equally divided into four pairs or four couplets, and each teaches a lesson about trouble. Psalm chapter 3 is a lesson on trusting God amidst trouble. Let's listen now to this barefoot king who, rather than wearing a crown, is now wearing grief. As we listen to the four lessons that he would teach us about trouble. The first couplet, the first heading, we would see trouble and temptation. Trouble and temptation. This is found in verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 3 to 4, we would be listening to trouble and trust. Trouble and trust. In the third heading, we would be listening to trouble and tranquility. Trouble and tranquility, verse 5 to 6. And in the last couplet, we would hear trouble and triumph. Trouble and triumph, verse 7 to 8. Trouble and temptation, trouble and trust, trouble and tranquility, trouble and triumph. Let's look at the first heading, trouble and temptation. Let's look at the first two verses. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. Here we have three lines of synonymous poetic parallelism. It is saying the same thing in three different ways. And this is to emphasize and amplify the final mocking words of verse 2. There is no salvation for him in God. It paints for us a picture of David's enemies, how they are growing in number. Not so long ago, we hear of a number of people as well, celebrating, admiring, calling out his name in jubilation. But that's a thing of the past. That song has faded away. These people are no longer for him. They are now with Absalom. It also reads that they are rising up, meaning their opposition towards him is very active. They are in pursuit of him. Ang napansin po natin dito, mga kapatid, is the clear repeated word many. Right? Verse 1, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Verse 2, many are saying of my soul. Three times it was mentioned in the first two verses. In fact, it will be mentioned again in verse 6, where we read, many thousands of people. What is this telling us? This is showing us that David is outnumbered. That these foes, these enemies are all around him. Not only that, they are also vocally ridiculing him. That is why we call this first heading, trouble and temptation. The trouble is obvious, right? He is fleeing for his life. People are against him. Many people are going after him. What is the temptation? The temptation is to give up. The temptation is to not trust God anymore. To listen to the words of his enemies. Ano ba sabi ng mga kaaway ni David? Walang kaligtasan makukuha sa Diyos para sa iyo. There is no salvation for him in God. To believe them is a temptation. There's no help, no deliverance, no salvation. Remember, friends, his trusted friends abandoned him. His number one advisor went to his son's side, Ahithophel. As they were traveling, they met Shimei, and he threw curses at him. 2 Samuel 16, verse 5, we read, when King David came to Bahurim, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came, he cursed continually. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David and at all and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. David has lots of enemies, and his enemies seem to be thinking, just like Shimei, that God was actually against him. The enemies are assuming that God was on their side. And God has abandoned David. It does seem that way, don't you think? And at times it seems that way in our lives as well, diba? And there is a great temptation to believe that maybe God is really against me. Maybe it's just right for me to give up. Hindi uncommon for our enemies or for God's enemies to be talking in line like this. You know what? It is also not that common, or it's not uncommon for God's people to believe these lies. Diba may mga pagkakataon, it seems like we want to believe already the lies of the enemies. Some of you know what this is like, to be mocked, to be ridiculed for your faith. Mula nung naging Christian ka, nagkandidulubyo na buhay mo. Kala ko ba puro pagpapala? Kala ko ba may mga blessings ka? Why all of a sudden when you became a believer and you were standing up for what is right, how come the others are the ones getting the promotion? Why, how come you're not? When troubles befall us, dear ones, it is important that we should not listen to the lies of the enemy, to believe the lies that God cannot and will not save us. This is what Spurgeon has to say. It is the most bitter of all afflictions to be led to fear that there is no help for us in God, David demonstrates for us how to respond in faith. In the space between verse 2 and verse 3, we see a massive change. A massive change of tone. Try to listen for yourselves as we go to the next couplet, where we see trouble and trust. Here we see David shifting focus from the rising numerous slanderous enemies to looking at God. Look at verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. But you, O Lord, what a great shift. Diba? Between the mocking masses, now to Yahweh. From the enemies to the ever faithful God. This is how we should perceive our struggles, friends. When we go through struggles, this is how we should address struggles. David's enemies claimed that God would not help him. And David invoked on the faithful name of God and recalls to mind the promises of God to him. We should do the same, friends. We should do the same. Recall to mind God's promises. Kahit mahirap, kahit nag-struggle tayo, kahit na parang hindi naman talaga ito ang katotohanan, para talagang iniwanan ako ng Diyos eh. No, dear ones, don't believe that. Don't believe that. When you are going through some rough times, what promises do you call to mind? Me? I call to mind Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going through some rough times, but it's not the end of the story yet. God who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Romans 8:28. And we know that though for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. In God's sovereignty, he would providentially cause all things, everything that is happening in my life, to work together for good. My ultimate good, to be more like Christ. Friends, it is very important that we have promises that we recall in times of trouble. David did in this overwhelming situation. You may ask, how? By recalling God's faithful name. And when we say his faithful name, that entails all his faithful works. He turned his gaze from his enemies to the nature and character of God. When we are overwhelmed with troubles, when our eyes are on the Lord, we see things clear, right? When our eyes are on the trouble, we don't see clear. But when we turn our eyes to the Lord, we would see things clearly. Naalala niyo yung mga spies? The spies sent out. 10 of them focus on the enemies. And what did they say? Oh, the enemies are so big. They're so massive. We would be just like grasshoppers compared to them. What about the other two spies who had faith? Let's get them. Let's go get them. The Lord is on our side. It's a matter of perspective, dear ones. Tingnan niyo ulit yung verse 3 and 4 and see how David's faith and confidence is shown here. But you, O Lord, Yahweh, faith always begins with you, O Yahweh, not I. It's not about our faith, but the object of our faith. It is the person whom we have trust in. David's faith and trust is in God, and this is his prayer. But you, O Yahweh, you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. One commentator calls this praying on the run. And I like that. Even when we are on the run, we don't need to be afraid as we put our trust on Yahweh. David calls out to God, to the God he knows, the one whom he has intimate relationship with, the one who has a track record, the one who chose him king, the one who forgave him of his sins, the one who restored his soul, the one who knows him through and through. Friends, as we unpack these verses, we would find that this is filled with the attributes of God. And we need to be reminded of this, dear ones. What is saying about Yahweh, about the faithful Yahweh? But you, O Lord, are a shield. That means God is protector, a shield about me. What language this warrior king understands shields? Ang dami niyang ginamit na shields nung nakipaglaban siya sa mga digmaan. Some say this can be an allusion to what God said to Abraham thousands of years before David was born in Genesis 15 verse 1, where we read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But most likely he was thinking about the times of his battles, when shields are very important. Shields are used to protect one from arrows, di ba? Para hindi ka tamaan ng mga pana o ng mga swords. But no one shield can protect you from every blow, di ba? Unless God is your shield. And it reads, "You, O Yahweh, are a shield." And it reads, "About me." That means around me, a shield that covers you from all sides. God is David's shield. Even though he is outnumbered, he was humiliated, but no longer vulnerable. His attacks are coming from every sides. God's protection is from every side. Psalm 18 verse 2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." David said, "You, O Yahweh, are my shield about me." What faith, what trust. But David goes on and say, "You are my glory." Now, glory here, you might think reflection, right? No. Glory here means weight, means significance, means importance, means heaviness. Here we have a king without a crown. A king who has lost his throne, whose very own son is trying to kill him. Yet his significance, his importance, is based on, is anchored on God and God alone. God himself was David's glory, because God is all that he need. It took him a while to realize that, but now that he understands this, he is declaring it. "You, O Yahweh, are my shield about me, my glory." And it reads, "the lifter of my head." This means that God is David's restorer. It's a picture of removal of shame, removal of contempt, a picture of restoration, a picture of vindication. From despair to hope. And then David goes on to say in verse 4, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Then that word, pause, Selah. What does that mean? What does this say about God? It means that God is accessible. David did call out to God in this context. It is recorded in 2 Samuel 15, verse 30. It is when his wise counselor, who now is serving Absalom, a man named Ahithophel, who has been so strategic, has been so wise, has been so helpful in David's affair, and as soon as David learned that Ahithophel is now serving Absalom, he uttered a prayer. This is what he said. O Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And God answered in a strange way. Ahithophel still gave wise counsel to Absalom, but Absalom rejected it. And it was a compelling mistake that made his rebellion come to an end. David was able to utter this prayer because God is the one who is accessible wherever he was. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Holy hill, that's Zion. That's the mountain that symbolizes the presence of God. That's the hill where the Ark of the Covenant was. Yan din yung parehong bundok kung saan kinokoronahan ang mga hari. David wasn't there anymore. Wala na siya doon. He is in the wilderness right now, nagtatago. But God doesn't have any trouble ministering to those who are in trouble, who calls upon him wherever they are. Friends, we need to learn from David to gaze upon God's grace and attributes when we are in trouble. Because during those difficult times, we need God the most to be our shield, about us, around us, our glory, our significance, our restorer, the one who is accessible to his people wherever we are. Friends, that is trouble and trust. And this leads us to the next heading, where we will find trouble and tranquility. Verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. David is in trouble, yet he can afford to sleep. How many sleepless nights have we had because of trouble? Naalala niyo po ba yung mga panahon na hindi kayo makapagkatulog dahil sa laki ng problema ninyo? Perhaps someone in the family has a medical condition. Perhaps you have a financial dilemma. Maybe you have relational issues. These things can make us lose sleep. I've had those. Verses 5 to 6 shows us a man surrounded by trouble. Verse 6 speaks of many thousands of people. They have set themselves against me all around, it reads. So yung trouble dito, totoo, it's real. He is in danger, he's outnumbered. So sleep will not be easy for anyone in this situation. But in David's case, we see peace amidst persecution. We see tranquility in the midst of trouble. What did he say considering his situation? I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Friends, we need to have a good theology of sleep, that everything is under God's care. We cannot add nor subtract to our trouble by worrying. Ako po, isa sa mga madalas kong isipin ay ang simbahan. Right? But if I would worry too much, and if I would think that the growth of the church is up to me, then I would not have enough sleep. I'm so glad that all I need to do is to be faithful to the call to preach and leave everything up to God. Na hindi ko kailangan umimbento ng mga man-made philosophies and devices to fabricate growth. That is God's job. My job is to take you in the take you to the depths of Scripture, and God would take care of the breath. That is what we see here in David. A deep sense of security in the sovereignty of God, because the Lord sustained him, according to him in verse 5. It is in the tense that speaks of a habit formed by David in trusting God. How about you? Do you have this conviction? Do you have this peace? His situation was not the perfect situation to be sleeping. But he can sleep. Why? Because God's loving and caring, sustaining arms are his pillows. And please note the sustaining God. They was able to sustain him to be able to sleep, and was able to sustain him for him to wake up. All because of the sustaining grace of God. Galing, di ba? Hindi lang siya nakakatulog, nagigising siya. And what is in front of him when he wakes up? God's sustaining grace. David goes on to say in verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. And again, such boldness, such confidence, such security. Coming from knowing that God is your sustainer. Thus there is peace even amidst the suffering. Someone can sleep. Someone can wake up. Even amidst the trouble. Share ko po sa inyo isang mga favorite songs ko na kinanta namin noon nung ako po ay nasa isang singing group. It's called Forever in His Care by First Call. Let me read to you, not sing to you, the lyrics of the song. Why should I worry if it shines or rains? I'm safe and warm under His wing. I'm in no hurry for an earthly king. I'm forever in His care. Troubles come and troubles go. Can change a thing by worrying so. I'm kissing goodbye to all my worldly woes. I'm forever in His care. He robes the meadow in flowers bright. He sees the sparrow fall. And though He leads me through the darkest night, I'm sheltered in His wings, protected throughout it all. So, why should I worry? Why should I worry if it shines or rains? I'm forever in His care. His sustained, deep care is very dependable, beloved. Even in those dark times, will you trust Him? Will you entrust to Him all your troubles and just receive His peace beyond compare? Be able to sleep, be able to wake up, even amidst all your troubles and care. Why should you worry if it shines or rain? We're forever in His care. This leads us to the last heading. Trouble and triumph. Look at verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Kanina pa parang sumisilip yung salvation, yung help, yung deliverance, right? It has been on the horizon for a long time in this song. Yung salitang save, help, delivered has appeared in verse 2, verse 7, and verse 8, leading towards the climax of God's salvation in verse 8. And in verse 7 is where we will actually hear the prayer of David. It has boldness, it has confidence in God's victory, knowing that He fights for His people. Sabi po dito, arise, O Lord. Pause tayo sandali. That is a beautiful phrase. This takes us back to Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, wherein we would see Moses. This is a war cry. Moses cried this out when they were bringing out the Ark of the Covenant. Numbers 10, 35. And whenever the Ark set out, Moses said, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And David seemingly is borrowing this ancient phrase and said, arise, O Lord, in verse 7. God is his defender. God is his deliverer. God is his savior. And he calls on God to save him. He calls on God by his covenant name, Yahweh. Pero hintay tayo. Painggan natin maigi yung rest of the prayer. Save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. A strike on one's cheek is a sign of contempt. It is a gross insult in the ancient Near East to smack someone in the face. Hanggang ngayon naman, di ba? Isa itong malaking paglapastangan sa pagsampal sa isang tao. Now, to break someone's teeth pictures a violent blow. Some say it refers to a vicious animal being rendered harmless by taking and removing all its teeth. Or in the ancient Near East, it is a severe punishment for those who slander people to take and pull out all their teeth. Either way, we see someone is going to lose their teeth. But what do we learn from this? We learn that, listen, allegiance to God is everything. This isn't David just asking for help just for David's sake. Hindi siya humingi ng tulong ng pagliligtas para lang maligtas siya. No, he understands that this is bigger than him. In fact, later he would ask for blessing upon his people. He knows Yahweh's reputation is at stake. He is praying these things not for his sake, but for God's glory's sake. You see, David is so mindful of the glory of God that he can boldly pray for such defeat for God's enemies. God's justice is very important to David. Now, yung tenses ng mga words dito vary from translation to translation. Some say, you have smitten your enemy's cheek. Some say, you strike all my enemy's cheek. Some say, you have broken the teeth of the wicked. Some say, you break the teeth of the wicked. What is going on here? The reason for such is that the translators want to portray the confidence that David had that as he was praying, it's as if his prayers are already done. That just God's justice is a surety, that it is as good as they have been stricken on the cheek and has already been smitten. And all this is being prayed for while Absalom is in the palace. David is barefooted, running in the wilderness. This is a prayer of trust, a prayer of confidence, a prayer of triumph. This rebellion will not last. It will get resolved. You know what? It did. Not too much longer after this, in the forest of Ephraim, 20,000 rebels got killed, Absalom included. The trouble that David faced cost him dearly because he loved his son. But with his eyes focused on God, he ends this song with a testimony and a blessing. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people, Selah. This is the declaration of the delivered. He will be delivered, but he wants God's people to see that his deliverance was from the Lord. He wants them to know a very important thing. And I want all of us to know a very important thing, that salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation is not found in rituals. Salvation is not found elsewhere. Salvation is not found elsewhere, even if you sincerely seek for them. No, salvation is found in the Lord. Salvation is not found in good works. Salvation is found in the Lord. And so, dear ones, when you go through some troubles, may you be reminded of Psalm chapter 3. And though you are not a king, not yet, that day is coming. But for the meantime, as you go through troubles, take this song with you and speak it to trouble. Salvation belongs to the Lord. You know, there was another son of David, but this one is perfectly righteous. A long-awaited son who knew trouble more than his father David could ever know. A son who was betrayed. And on that night, he was to be killed. He walked the very same path that his father David walked. And he wept, but not for himself. And he was troubled that night, and he was abandoned by his friends. A prelude of a far greater abandonment that he would suffer on the cross. His enemies also surrounded him as they mocked him. So many were his foes, and they uttered the same words that the enemies of David uttered to him. There is no salvation for him in the Lord. Remember what they said in Matthew 27? He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires. For he said, I am the Son of God. Jesus heard those insults while he was hanging on the cross. And Jesus responded in submission to his Father, in perfect obedience and in perfect trust. And because of that, Jesus delivered his people from death. And he is our Lord, he is our God, and he is our King. In every trial that we go through, dear ones, teaches us to fully trust in God. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Paul wrote these words, but David lived them out. And David is telling us, but all throughout our trouble, we should trust in the Lord. Why? Because salvation belongs to the Lord. I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe the pandemic has really gotten into you. Maybe you're so broken right now. I'm not gonna pretend that I know how it feels. God knows. Maybe you have lost a lot of loved ones because of the pandemic. Dear ones, start crying out to God. Start crying out to God. Start trusting Him. Start trusting Him. Start embracing the peace that He offers, and embrace the triumph that can only be found in Him. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You for this beautiful song. Thank You for what David went through. Thank You for what Jesus went through. What we may be going through right now, Lord, may never compare to what both Davids went through. David and the greater David. We pray, Lord, that we would learn from them, especially Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. And because of that, He saved His people from eternal damnation. Tulungan niyo kami, Panginoong Diyos, na yakapin ang mga katotohanan ito kahit mahirap po. We understand, Lord, that we live in difficult times, but we also understand that we ought to be reminding ourselves that in difficult times, we need our awesome Savior. We need our wonderful Master. We need our amazing God. We thank You, Lord, that we have Your Word to remind us of all these things. And as we, Lord, continue to worship You, we pray that we would be found, Lord, indeed like David, who found trust in the midst of his troubles, because he trusted in no one else but the Lord, the one who can offer salvation, the one from whom salvation is found. Thank You again, Lord, for teaching us. We pray that You would bless our hearts as we face our own troubles and speak these truths to them, victoriously declaring that You are above any kind of trouble. We thank You, we love You. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me. God bless you.